Just reading today before the lesson will be out of Luke, be 10:30-33. Then Jesus answered and said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a certain priest came down the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, the Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came here where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion."
Good morning, everyone. It's good to see each and every one of you. We're so thankful that you're here. We're so thankful that you came here to worship God in spirit and in truth. We have many visitors with us, for that we're thankful and certainly grateful for. My mom and dad and sister are here this morning, and certainly thankful that they're able to visit today. They have trouble getting off just as I do sometimes, so it's nice when they can visit. But Dad teaches the adult Bible class, so he gets off in the summer, so that's when he can visit, you know. So I'm very thankful that they're here today. You know, in relation to Bible class teachers, it's been about a year now, believe it or not, that Benny and I kind of sat down and we kind of discussed what we could possibly do, and we think it did work out well. Certainly there's areas to improve, as always there are. And one thing that we discussed was Danny would go talk to people and I'd go talk to people, and we would have to kind of, we'd have to translate to each other. And we just thought if we had a flip of what your ideal teaching situation would be, that'd be very helpful for us. Because when we sit down at the table and we try to plan out the whole year, it'd be nice to have a flip of what everybody's ideal situation would be. Age group, quarter, that type of thing. And hopefully we can make that work. But those clips are out there by the back when we go out by the bulletins. If you pick those up, and we'll try to get a schedule worked out for next year. And certainly any comments to help us move forward and be better in that respect of teaching our young people, we're certainly open to at any time. If you open your Bibles to Luke chapter 10, verses 25 to 37, we have the parable of the Good Samaritan. And I don't want to necessarily linger too long here, per se, although we could, is I really want to concentrate on the idea of what's going on. And I think the idea of what's going on is there's an opportunity to help, there's an opportunity to serve, there's an opportunity to love. But let's look at that situation once again. So thankful for the scripture reading there from Greg. But getting into what Jesus said in Luke chapter 10, verse 30 there. It says, "And Jesus said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a certain priest came down the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and he sent him on his own animal. On the next day, when he departed, he took 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you.' So which of these three do you think was a neighbor to him who fell among thieves?" Certainly there's a lot that we could discuss here, but an opportunity to help, an opportunity to serve, an opportunity to do good. And I think the question that I really want to focus on this morning is, would you stop? Would you stop? We see one out of three is going to stop in this scenario, and we see that it's the Samaritan, and there is a powerful message behind that, because if you look at the background, the question is kind of like, well, who is my neighbor? And we see these questions that are asked, and these things that are presented, and really that just opens up the door that we realize that everybody's our neighbor. In this case, the Samaritan, we wouldn't expect the Jews wouldn't expect the Samaritan necessarily to stop. But really, everyone is our neighbor. And if you have an opportunity to love, serve, help, encourage, you should certainly take those opportunities. But the question this morning is, would you stop? And it's easy, perhaps, to look at the story, look at the illustration, see it, and say, you know what, I would like to think I would stop. I would like to think I would stop in this situation. But what I'd really like you to encourage you to do this morning is to think about your own life. Because although you're not going to maybe fall on a situation quite as dramatic as this, a man that has been beaten up, a man that has been left for dead, a man that is there on the side of the road, you might have other opportunities that are right there that you just walk on by. I'd like to think about those this morning. It's easy to think about other individuals as we look at areas where we could serve, when we look at areas where we can encourage individuals, where we look at individuals that need prayed for. It's perhaps easy to say, that person will do it, or that person will do it, or that person will do it, or the preacher will do it, or the elders will do it. But you know that some of those opportunities are perhaps for you. Are there opportunities in your life that you are just passing by? Well, why would you pass by? I think we could ask that question and looking at these individuals that pass on by. We have two individuals that walk by a situation that obviously needs help, that obviously needs encouragement, that obviously needs some assistance, some person in need. How many people will walk by? Here we have three individuals. One is going to stop. And the question is will you stop? It's easy to look at other individuals and say, well, that individual didn't stop and serve. That individual didn't stop to encourage. That individual didn't stop to pray. But the question for you this morning is, would you stop? Would you stop when the opportunity presents itself to help others? Certainly, I think there's a danger in this world to make the same mistake that we see these two individuals do, to just walk on by. It's perhaps more easy than we would care to admit that we get lost in the world, our life, our work, things that are going on in our lives, and each and every day we walk past an opportunity to serve, to encourage, to pray for someone. Would you walk by those opportunities? Would you stop? Because it's easy to make this a distant story, a distant parable, and try to say, well, you know what, Kyle, I've never seen somebody on the side of the road about half dead. I've never seen somebody on the side of the road about half dead, all beat up in such a horrible situation. I've never seen that. What I'm trying to encourage you to see is that you have opportunities each and every day to stop by and help. Let's think about some of those areas that you have. We certainly understand that as we live this life, we're trying to please God, do the best we can to serve them. I think it's 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 9 and 10. It says, therefore we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to Him. And then it goes on to talk about the judgment in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. For we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10 says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and each one will receive the things done in the body, whether good or bad. You know, we think about that. Would you stop in such a situation? Perhaps we're looking by in many situations. You know, I think about those individuals that walk by. Why did they walk by? Was it because they were busy? Was it because they didn't want to help? Like, what is the reason? And I don't know if we're going to necessarily come to the exact conclusion here this morning, but what I would suggest, the same reason that they walk by is the same reason that perhaps we walk by. Maybe they said we're too busy. Maybe we said, you know what, I don't have the time. I don't have the resources to help. I'm not able to help. Well, you know what, I would, but I've got someplace to be. I've got things to do. And the question is as we go throughout our Christian life, have we got to the point where we can't even see individuals that need help, individuals that need support, individuals that need serve, individuals that need encourage, individuals that need prayed for? Are we so busy and consumed in our own life that we're walking down the road of life and we can't see off to the left and the right and see those that need help? Would you stop? To say, Kyle, I've never seen somebody half dead alongside the road. Well, what are some things that we could see alongside the road? Number one, is something that I think that we could see alongside the road is individuals that need to be served. You know, that's a big part of Christianity, is loving and serving those that are around us. We must love and serve Christians. We must love and serve our neighbor. It says, love your neighbor as yourself. We think in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13, it says, for you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Through love serve one another. That is the foundation of Christianity. To love God and love your neighbor. And when we love God and we love our neighbor and we see individuals that need serve, we see individuals that need help, those are opportunities that we should not and really we cannot walk by in good conscience. What are you not seeing alongside the road? What are you not detecting? What are you not picking up? Because you're so focused on your own path, you're so focused on your own life, what are you not picking up on the side of the road? Do we get so lost in our own lives that we can't pick up that there's somebody alongside the road, possibly a brother or sister in Christ, that is injured, half dead, on life support, and we can't pick that up? Are we looking where we should be looking as Christians? Are we looking for individuals to love and serve? The beautiful thing about the church, when we're thinking about our brothers and sisters in Christ, is God has united us as one in the church. We think of Galatians chapter 3 and verse 28. It says, "For there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for all are one in Christ Jesus." What a beautiful picture that is. Everything the world says should divide us, God says, "I'm going to unify you." And when we're unified in that family, we're supposed to be a family of love and looking for those opportunities to serve. It should be a distinguishing quality that we're looking out for one another and trying to serve each other as best we can. I think of John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. In John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, it says, and this is Jesus speaking, it says, "A new command I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. That you love one another. And by this, all the world will know that you are my disciples, by the love that you have for one another." You know, love is the driving factor of Christianity, and it's the driving factor of our service. Are we able to see the people alongside the road that need help? That need a helpful hand, that need to be served in some way? We all have different talents and abilities and attributes that God has given us. You know, we think about Bible class teachers. That's certainly an area to serve. We think of the card group that we have. That's an area to serve. There are so many areas to serve. I mean, really, there's not a shortage. We think about visiting individuals. There is not a shortage when it comes to the Lord's work. The question is can we, for a second, direct our minds off our own path and be able to see individuals off to the left and the right that need assistance? You know, I do think of Jesus. In John chapter 13, verses 3 through 17, what do we find Jesus, the Son of God, doing? He is actually there. In John chapter 13, verses 3 through 17, he is washing the disciples' feet. Now, you think of that as the Lord, the Son of God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, he's washing the disciples' feet, and he's trying to send a powerful message. The powerful message is to serve others and to look for such opportunities to serve. In Mark chapter 10, verses 43 through 45, it says, "Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever of you desires to be first shall be a slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." As Christians, as an individual Christian, would you stop to serve? I know we have busy lives. I know we have jobs, and the Bible certainly teaches us to work and to provide for our families. Certainly the Bible teaches such things. The Bible says that we can enjoy life, but if somehow, through the course of life, we miss a basic foundation of Christianity of serving others, certainly we have missed one of the major pieces. Because when Jesus came, he said, "I came to serve." And if we're going to follow the steps of Jesus, we have to be asking ourselves the question, have I come to serve? Have I come to serve? Have I come to spot individuals that need help and assistance? You know, biblical service can be rewarding. Finding individuals that need help and assisting them when they have nothing to give in return. We think of Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12. It says, "Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law of the prophets." Certainly, we should treat brothers and sisters in Christ and even our enemies with the best love, care, compassion, and service that we can. Who's the last person to serve? We say, "Kyle, I can't find somebody alongside the road. Are we looking for the person beside the road?
I can't find somebody, Kyle. I don't know if I have an opportunity to serve, to help, and assist.
Are you looking? Because I think if we're honest with ourselves, perhaps there's more people alongside the road than we would care to admit. There are more tasks that need the service of the Lord's people than we would care to admit. In fact, maybe we run into the situation that we see in the Bible where really you see that the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Can we spot areas to serve? Certainly, we don't all have the same talents and abilities, but we should have that right attitude. I think of Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for your own interests, but the interests of others. Looking out for the interests of others. Have you spotted somebody that you can serve? Have you spotted somebody that you can help? Certainly, as we read Luke chapter 10, we need to be on the lookout for individuals that we can serve. I don't know if our problem really is lack of opportunity. We need to be looking as we go throughout life for the individuals that are outside the road. Number one is when I look for individuals that I can help, similar to the situation we read about in Luke chapter 10, I look for individuals that I can serve. Number two, I look for individuals that I can build up and encourage. As we're going through life and we're on the road of life, can you spot somebody alongside the road that needs some encouragement, that needs to be built up, that needs to be embraced, that needs to be encouraged? Can you find somebody that needs encouraged along life's way? You know, I certainly think of the assembly of the church. The assembly of the church is a great way to encourage individuals. I'm encouraged by the older Christians that have been faithful for long periods of time. I'm encouraged by the young Christians. I'm encouraged by the young Christian families that bring their kids to services. I'm encouraged by the grandparents that make an effort to bring their grandkids to services. I'm encouraged by those that have lost a spouse and are coming to services. I'm encouraged. What if you've got to build somebody up? Build somebody up by coming to services. Build somebody up by saying kind words. Are we looking for those opportunities? Because as we go life's way, it is not easy. It's got its ups and downs. It's got its all around. And as we go down the path, there are the individuals that are going to have hard times, that are going to have bad days, and they need to be encouraged and uplifted and built up. And certainly that is one of the obligations, I think, of the church. As brothers and sisters in Christ, as we should be looking for individuals that need encouragement. The church is so special to God. Certainly he purchased it with his own blood, Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. It says he purchased the church with his own blood. We see in Acts chapter 2 these individuals are being baptized and they're being added to the church. In Ephesians chapter 5, it says the church is Christ's bride. Jesus loves the church. He cares for the church. He gave his blood for the church. He says the church is his bride. Jesus loves the church, and when we become part of the church, when we're added to the church, there should be such a strong love that drives us to love one another, encourage each other, and build each other up. Certainly, we think of the assembly of the saints. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, it says, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Wait, to consider one another to stir up love and good works. You know, getting together is a way that we can encourage one another and help each other along life's way. And let us consider one another to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as is a matter of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. Certainly, the assembly can be a great encouragement tool. You know, our words can be a great encouragement tool. Our example can be a great encouraging tool. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12, Paul, writing to the young preacher Timothy, he says, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word and conduct and love and spirit and faith and purity. You know, there are a few things that are more encouraging to me than fellow brothers and sisters in Christ living the Christian life. Living the Christian life through adversity, living the Christian life through hard times, living the Christian life through trials, that is encouraging to me. That is encouraging when you see somebody going through and doing the best they can. And you know what? Many times those individuals need, they need a little bit of encouragement. Are you encouraging individuals with your example? You know that sometimes we could perhaps have a discouraging example. That people can look at the way we live and it can discourage people. You know, sometimes people can look at the sin and the moral decay and they can get discouraged. You know what's encouraging? Seeing good, faithful living.
seeing good, faithful conduct. Are we perfect? No. But we're giving the best we can to serve God. And when we're walking along life's road, not only are you going to have an opportunity to look to the left and look to the right and be able to see the individuals that need served, but you're going to be able to look to the left and look to the right, and you're going to be able to see individuals that need encouragement. Who's the last person that you've encouraged? That you intentionally thought, you know what, this person might be going through a hard time. You know what? That person's wrestling those kids in the pew. You know? I don't care, gets it. Thankful for the hills and the smiths that wrangle my kids from time to time. You know? Are you encouraged? Encouraged by seeing people trying to live a faithful life. Are you living a faithful life that can encourage others? You know, certainly there's so many individuals that can be encouraged. In James chapter 1 and verse 27, it says, "Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world." That is certainly an encouragement to many. And certainly there are people like that alongside the road that we need to encourage. As you're going along life's way, there's going to be people there that you can serve. Will you spot them? There's going to be people along life's way that you can encourage. Will you spot them? Will you encourage them? And then there's another one that I think that we can do really each and every day. Not a problem at all to find these individuals alongside the road. Can you find somebody to pray for? You know, praying for others. I think in Hebrews chapter 4, certainly we have a great blessing as Christians to be able to go to God in prayer. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. It says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us lay hold of our confession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was at all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." You know, when you think about going to God in prayer, Jesus came and took on human form, and really a big part of that is He is relatable to us. Jesus faced the temptations that we face. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, pride of life. He faced the temptations and struggles that we face. And really, I think that's comforting when we go to God in prayer and we know that we have a high priest, our Lord and Savior, God, who is relatable to some degree. He understands our struggles and He cares about our struggles. And you know what? He tells us in the Bible that cast our cares on Him. And certainly that's a part of our prayer life. Part of our prayer life is certainly getting the help and assistance for ourselves. But you know what? Part of our prayer life is for others. We think of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, it says, "Pray without ceasing." I think sometimes we struggle in the busyness of life, right? We're finding out the busyness of life, not being able to spot things by the road. Can you spot people to pray for? A lot of times I fear that our lives get so busy that we push out some of the most important things, and perhaps one of those things is prayer. You know what I found about fast prayers? You've ever said a fast prayer? Certainly, you probably all have. A lot of times our fast prayers, what I've found, is that they are focused a lot on ourselves. You say a fast prayer real quick, maybe around the dinner table or something. A lot of times, not always, a lot of times, perhaps our prayers, when they're really fast, they focus just on ourselves. Have you thought about praying for others? There's certainly a lot of people alongside the road that need prayer. And if you can't think of anybody, hey, I'll take as many as I can get. Okay? So if you're trying to think, okay, who can I add to my prayer life? Who's alongside the road that might need some help, help from God that I could pray for and think of? There is not a shortage on that list. Hey, Kyle, I don't have the opportunity. I'm not in a foreign land. I'm not in a faraway place. That's how we think of that parable sometimes. Faraway place, faraway land. I don't have somebody just on the side of the road half dead. There's all kinds of people alongside the road that need your prayers. In James chapter 5 and verse 16, it says, "Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another." Confess your trespasses to one another. It says, pray for one another. Are we praying for one another? Who's the last person that you prayed for? That you thought specifically about that person. You said, this person needs some prayers, and you went to God in prayer and prayed for that individual. I'm thinking about our private prayers many times. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9, it says, "For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you." We've got Christians praying for Christians. Are we praying for each other? Are we praying for each other as we go through trials, as we go through adversity, as we go through tribulation, as we go through life? life is not necessarily easy, and certainly we all get knocked down at certain points. And what a powerful thing it is to know that your brothers and sisters in Christ are praying for you. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8, it says, pray for us. Pray for us. Can you find somebody along the road this morning? Perhaps as we lift our eyes up from our own footsteps, perhaps as we start switching our perspective from just straight ahead to off to the right, off to the left, and being a little less focused on ourselves, perhaps we spot so many opportunities that we realize we perhaps don't have enough time. That's why we need everyone. Truly, that's why we need everyone. If we say, you know what, the preacher is going to be the one that, you know what, he's going to be the one that cares everybody. The preacher is going to be the one who's going to encourage everybody. The preacher is going to be the one that's going to pray for everybody. We're going to be in trouble as a family here at Sandyville. If we're going to say, the elders are going to be the ones that serve everybody. The elders are going to be the ones that encourage everybody. The elders are going to be the ones that pray for everybody. We're going to be in trouble. We need everyone. We need each and every one, because as we realize we go along life's road, we start to realize if we're on the narrow path, as described in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, it talks about the narrow path and talks about the wide path. If we're on the narrow path, we start to realize there's a lot of people off to the side that need some help. There's a lot of our brothers and sisters in Christ that have wandered off the straight and narrow path. You know what? They need to be served. They need to be encouraged. They need to be prayed for. And maybe we can get them back on that straight and narrow path and doing those things that are good and right. Praying for everyone, but certainly praying for others is something that we should think about. We think about Matthew chapter 5 and verse 44. It says, but I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, give good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. There is no shortage of individuals to pray for alongside the road. There is no shortage of individuals to encourage alongside the road. There is no shortage of individuals to serve alongside the road. You know, we think of Jesus and all that he did throughout his life. As he went throughout life, as he went life's way, don't we see how many times Jesus stopped to serve? Don't we see how many times Jesus stopped to encourage? Do we see how many times Jesus stopped to pray? And he did stop to pray. In fact, when we look at Jesus' prayer life, he usually would wake up early and he would isolate himself and he would pray. It was part of Jesus' life. The question for you this morning is, will you stop? Will you stop? Can we take the message from Luke chapter 10 and realize that we walk by individuals each and every day that need our help and assistance? Can we see them? Or do we just keep walking on by? I think God does expect us to serve. I think he expects us to encourage and build up the family of God and others that are around us. I think God expects us to pray. And as we look at ourselves for a moment, which is really the purpose, is when is the last time you served? When is the last time you encouraged? When is the last time you prayed for others? Do we neglect what God expects? Do we neglect what God expects? Does God expect us to stop by and serve? Does God expect us to stop by and encourage? Does God expect us to stop by and pray? Do we neglect what God expects? The question for you this morning, would you stop? A lot of times I think people take that parable and they try to take it and put it in some distant land, in some distant place, in some far off place. But really, what we realize is we're all on the road of the Good Samaritan, and that road is life. And as we walk on that road, we have to be very careful that we don't have the blinders on and we can't see the people off to the side that need our service, that need our encouragement, that need prayed for. Would you stop? We perhaps have more opportunities than we would care to admit. Look up and see who's alongside the road. Lift up your eyes and change your perspective in the areas that you can serve your brothers and sisters in Christ and serve the world. Would you stop? As we transition into invitation, I think of another individual that stopped in Acts chapter 8. We have the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8. He's reading the Old Testament scriptures. And he says, I don't understand what I'm reading. And a preacher actually is going to jump up in his chariot, and he is going to preach to him Jesus. after he preaches to his Jesus in Acts chapter 8, what we see is the Ethiopian eunuch says, stop.
Well, what does he say stop?
He says, stop the chariot. Why does the Ethiopian need to stop the chariot? He says he needs to be baptized. Well, how did he come to that conclusion? Is the preacher, in that case, preached to him Jesus, and he said, you know what? What hinders me from being baptized? Says, if you believe with all your heart, you may. We understand that baptism is for the remission of sins, and we're added to the church. Sometimes in our lives, we have to stop to study the Bible. Sometimes we have to stop to become a Christian. And that's exactly what the Ethiopian eunuch did. Would you stop as you go life's way? Will you stop to serve? Will you stop to encourage? Will you stop to pray for others? Would you stop? Perhaps we have more opportunities than we would care to admit. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation anyway, whether you need to become a New Testament Christian, whether you need to pray for the church, we'd love to help you in any way that we can if you come as we stand and as we sing.